They come from a country called Azerbaijan. Does anyone know where Azerbaijan is? Anybody? Okay. Well, if you look up on the map there, that's the family. There is Azerbaijan. The next slide. The capital city is Baku. Are you from Baku?
Yes.
They are from Baku. And it's a fascinating journey that God has placed them on. And Rasim's going to be telling the story. I'm going to read a small paragraph after his conversion to Christianity that will give you kind of an idea of where he's coming from. After enduring much persecution, God opened a door for me to go to Bible college in Kyrgyzstan, which is above on the right, I think.
Yes.
After graduation, he married Shalala, who's right here, another believer. Together, we planted and pastored house churches. For 12 years, we faithfully served, planting several more house churches, preaching the gospel to surrounding cities, and baptizing many Muslims who chose to follow Jesus Christ. And then what happens to most immigrants? Next slide. Homeland Security, immigration to the United States. They immigrated as God called them, and God provided him the opportunity to study full scholarship, and they've settled in this area to continue doing what God has called them to do as a minister and as a pastor, follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just want to welcome Rasim. At the end of the sermon, there may be a few questions. Aaron's going to ask a few questions. But I encourage you to welcome Rasim and his wife just with a bit of applause as a welcome.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Pastor. Thank you. Good morning. I hope you guys hear me in the back. Okay, good. My name is Rasim Hasanov, and my wife is with me. We have two boys, 16 and 13 years old. Before I'll share with the Word of God, I'm going to share a little bit how I came to Christ. I believe every one of us, we have a history and witness and how we came to Christ, story that we have, everybody. I'm so thankful to Pastor and his wife and Pastor Charles that I talked a few minutes ago. And thank you very much for all of you that you guys have asked today to share with you. I believe we have same faith and same God we believe and same book, the Bible we believe in and we read and we follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So I'm going to put my time. I don't want to take much time of yours, but I try to be on time. So it's okay? Yes. If not, I'm probably going to take much time. So I don't want to take much time. I want to be on time. All right. I'm good now. Okay. So I used to be Muslim. I was born into a Muslim family. I grew up as a Muslim. I was proud being a Muslim in a Muslim country, Azerbaijan. So as every other Muslim, of course, we have to read our own book, which is Quran. And I was reading it. I was trying to please Allah, God, with everything we do. But when I was like 18, 20 years old, something, I believe 18 or 19, I had questions, lots of questions in my heart because I believe every Muslim has the same questions. So those questions start to rise in my heart. And I was thinking deeply a lot about this. And some nights I was going out to empty fields. I don't want anybody to hear me, so I was going far to empty fields to scream and to yell at the skies, asking Allah, if you, I believe in you, but I need your help in my life. If you really exist up there, come and help me. Unfortunately, sometimes even Christians, they doubt in the existence of God, unfortunately. But I was Muslim, I was just crying out, asking God, if you really exist, come into my life and help me. So what happened? I was doing many, many nights. One night, somebody came to our neighborhood. So he told us about living God, how God is beautiful. I never heard in my life somebody tells to us about how God is beautiful. He was telling us about angels, how angels are beautiful. They are living creatures that God created, how paradise, heaven are so beautiful. Unfortunately, I understood that in many churches in America, they don't talk about God, how he's beautiful, about angels, about paradise. They don't talk about those spiritual things, but they talk a little bit, but mostly they don't talk about that. But he was telling us about that a lot. That was something that really grabbed my heart because I never heard any Muslim talks like that. So he used to be a former Muslim as well, but he came to Christ. So he was approaching us as a Muslim guy, okay? Now, he didn't come tell us about Jesus loves you. No, it doesn't work in a Muslim country. So later on, he was telling us, he was coming to our neighborhood every week, every single week, and telling us about those spiritual things. And then he told us about prophets. Every week he was coming to our neighborhood, he was telling us about prophets. And then after several months, he told us about Jesus, that how many miracles he did, and how he opened our blind eyes, and how he rose dead from the grave, that 4 days Lazarus. That really, that touched my heart, said, I want to hear more about this all. So he gave me New Testament to read. That's Injil. I never sinned in my life, so I took New Testament. Even Quran talks about that, but I took a New Testament. I started to read it. I said, what is this? I never read. So I started to read that New Testament. As I was reading, and he came to our neighborhood. Again, he invited me to come to, not to church. Okay, when you say to Muslim, let's go to church, they say, oh, no, I don't want to go to church. But he told me, because church is a different place for Muslims, okay? Are you with me? Okay, I want to be, because I want to talk to you and I want to have a response. So is it okay? Thank you. So what happened? He said, let's go to some gathering. I said, oh, okay, let's go. So we came, that was old Russian Pentecostal church, very old, small. It's not church building like that. It was church in apartment, okay? They didn't place the building in apartment. There were 10 believers in that apartment. That was a church, okay? They were like 50, 60 years old, Russians mostly, and they were praying all together. That was a praying church. When we entered to the room, they said salam. Salam means hello. That salam really touched my heart so deeply. I was amazed how Christians can say salam, you know, hello to me, like full of love that I never experienced before. That time I didn't know God's love. By the way, in Islam, in Quran, God is not love. Okay? In the Bible, it says God is for sure, amen. But in the Quran, it doesn't say God is love. So I didn't have any God's love before. But love touched my heart so deeply, I was like in shock. Christians, how can greet me Muslim like that? So they invite me to come second time to gathering, not the church, okay? That was a church meeting, but gathering, okay? I came. So if you want to invite some Muslim guy, don't say, let's go to church. Tell him, let's go to some cookout or something. Let's go to some, you know, some just enjoy together time, okay? He's going to come. So if you're going to say, let's go to church, forget about it. So I came and I said, I want to repent in my sin because I was reading and God's spirit really touched my heart. I came and I repented in my sins. They told me, would like for us to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, yes, of course, because I was reading the New Testament. So they prayed for me. That day, that January 1st, 1995, I felt that I'm kind of drunk. Something came upon me. I was flying somewhere in the air, but I didn't drink any vodka, okay? But God's Spirit was so strong upon me, and I felt so amazing. I never had that before in my life, never. So after that day, God changed my heart. And I was reading New Testament, like in Acts, like Acts 2, Acts 10. What happened to apostles? That happened to me. I didn't know what's going on, but I started to, I have to tell this because that happened in my life. I started to speak in tongues. I didn't know what's going on. I was God did miracle in my life that day. That after that, I tried to tell everybody about Jesus because I was in fire. And I didn't know I'm going to break some trees and somebody's, with my words, Jesus loves you. Jesus, I was like on fire. Some of them, they hated me. Some of them didn't like me because Muslim country. Some of them, they tried to kill me because I betrayed them all, as they thought. And some of my relatives, very close relatives, they wanted to kill me. And police, KGB. I know in China, there are lots of persecution. And Muslim countries, they have also persecution. They threatened my life a lot. But you know what? The love of Jesus Christ and his spirit was so strong that I said, Lord, I'm so grateful. We were serving the Lord, telling everybody about Jesus Christ. So after 2 years, I went to Bible college, graduated from Bible college, came back. As Pastor said, we married with my wife. Then we moved to Baku to plant a church. So we planted a church, and we were pastoring the church. And what happened? God brought some of my relatives to Christ, some of my friends to Christ, and some of their relatives. And we were baptizing them, and we were having fun together and prayers and telling Jesus, people about Jesus Christ, about what? Persecutions and difficulties, problems, all together. And the Bible says that blessings and persecution is also granted to us. Not just our blessings, but also suffering was granted to us in Christ Jesus. We cannot separate each other because this is part of our calling. So today's my message is the Lord's desire to seek and save the lost. It's not my desire, it's not our desire, it's Lord's desire, because he said in Matthew, he said that he came from heaven to earth to this world to seek and save the lost. One time one Russian lady told me, she was Orthodox Christian. She told me, maybe you heard about that, maybe know about, she told me, Jesus is ours. Muhammad is yours. Maybe you heard something similar. Buddha is our, Jesus is for Christians. But I don't know, but she told me, Jesus is ours, Christians, Muhammad is yours. That really touched my heart so deeply. That time I was a new believer. I opened, it's good, thank God for our pastor, for our leaders, that they taught us to memorize some words, from the Word of God. So I memorized John 3:16. I'm so grateful, God, for that verse. So I opened New Testament. That Russian lady, when she told me that Jesus is ours, Muhammad is yours, I said, hey, listen, let me open it. I said, let's see what God's Word says about this. It says that, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I said, it says that God so loved the world. It doesn't say God so loved the Christians. Is that right? In the Bible, it says God so loved the world. I said, are you in the world? She said, yes. I said, how about me? Am I outside of this world? And she stopped. She said, no, you are in the world too. I said, you see, God so loved this whole world. And he loved this world. He gave his son, not for Christians. He gave his son for this whole world. I said, in this world, every nation's in this world. It doesn't say God loved particular some nation. It says God loved this world so much that he gave his only one son. And whoever believes, I said, I am one of those whoever believes in him will not perish. She listened and she wasn't able to say anything against. God so loved this world that he gave. And in this world, me and you and all of us and all the nations. And Jesus wasn't some kind of nationality. He was Son of God who came from heaven to this earth for all of us. And what happened? The assurance of our salvation. By the way, Muslims, in Islam, Muslims, they don't have assurance of their salvation as we believers in Jesus Christ have. If you will ask Muslim, are you really going to be in heaven, you devout Muslim? Are you going to be in heaven? If they're honest, they're going to tell you, we don't know. God knows. But one Muslim told me recently, he told me, we were sometimes going out talking to people. He came to me and said, why you don't want to come back to Islam? I said, I'm ready to come back to Islam. Prove to me that if I'll come back to Islam, I'm going to be in heaven. And I'll come. He said, well, I don't know. I said, if I'll come right now to Islam, will I be in heaven, in paradise or no? And he said, I don't know. God knows. I said, listen what Jesus said. I opened John chapter 12 and verse 26. I told him, listen what Jesus said. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. I told him, you know Jesus, where is Jesus? He said, yes. I said, Jesus in heaven. He said, we believe that. I said, good. But you have to follow Jesus instead to be in heaven. You don't know, but come to Jesus. You're going to be in heaven forever and ever. And what happened? They have waiting. Muslims, they wait for judgment day. Do you know that? Muslims, they wait for judgment day. The judgment day is going to be scales, good deeds and bad deeds. But you know, Bible tells us, it tells us that we are not waiting for judgment day. Isn't that amazing? We are not going to be in judgment day before, because Word of God says that Christians, they are going to judge this world. Believers in Jesus are going to judge this world. And even they're going to judge angels who followed after Satan. And in the John 3, 17, 18, God said, for God did not send his son into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is promised to us because Jesus was condemned for us, and we are not looking for judgment day. Muslims, even they are strong Muslims, they are in fear of their faith because they don't know what will be for them in heaven when they're going to come for judgment day. And also it says to us, John 5:24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. It's already. So why I'm talking about these things, this is very cornerstone things that when we talk to Muslims, I bring this right to them. I say, my Bible gives us assurance. My Bible tells me that I'm not going to be condemned. Yesterday I was talking to one Muslim guy. He was from Afghanistan. I was talking to him. I talked to him several months ago. I met him yesterday. I talked to him again. I said, hey, how you doing? Wahid. His name is Wahid. He said, I'm doing good. How you doing? I said, I'm doing good. Hey, we were talking. He said, hey, this world is temporary. I said, yes, so where are you going to go after this world? Muslims very, very ready to talk about spiritual topics. Very. They are ready to talk about that. If you talk to Muslims, they are. So it's good for us to talk to them. I said, hey, okay, where are you going to go after this, you know, temporary life? He said, hey, we all go to Jahannam. It means to go, we all go to hell. Most honest Muslims, they say the same thing to me. Even some educated teachers, they say, we're going to go to hell. We're going to suffer there for several hundred years. Then God's going to transfer us from hell to paradise. I said, Jesus said, whoever goes to hell stays there. Whoever goes to paradise, heaven stays there. There's no cross line there, no highways to cross through from this one place to other one. I said, okay, well, hey, where are you going? Everybody going to go. I said, hey, listen, there's good news for you. I said, Isaac can take you to heaven for sure. I talked to him before. He knows about it. And he said, hey, Rasim, no, I'm a Muslim. I said, but you're a Muslim, you're going to hell. If you believe in Isa, you'll come for sure to heaven because he gave us. And he said, there is no judgment day for you. We are blessed not because who we are. We are blessed because of Jesus Christ. Now, forgiveness of sins. If you ask Muslims, even they say God is forgiven. Are your sins are forgiven? They say, God knows. Everything they say, God knows. God knows. We have good news. Even some of them, they say, yes, my sins are forgiven. I say, okay. Then in the end, in a judgment, your sin is going to be on a scale. If God forgave you, is he going to pull back your sins? Then it means he didn't forgive you. We have forgiveness of sins. In Luke chapter 5, verses 20, Jesus said, I want to read it to you, 5:20, it says, to a paralytic guy that they brought to Jesus, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. And 24 said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. We are blessed, not because who we are, but because Jesus Christ, he has authority to forgive. And he forgave already us. He's not going to be forgive us in the future. No, he already forgave us. And we are blessed. Now, while we were a pastor in a church, back in a country, some guy told me, what brought you here in America, to America? I said, the voice. Do we believe in God that he speaks today? Bible talks about that. And he speaks today. We were pastoring the church. We had prayers. 2012. Voice in my heart. Days are coming, prepare, pass on the ministries and go. We had all kinds of ministries. We were going to different villages, different towns, cities, and preaching gospel and having groups there. I'm looking forward to planting churches because we planted two more churches. And we were going and doing lots of ministries. God has planned for all of us. And 2012, days are coming, prepare, pass on the ministries. And I said, God, I knew this was all about because 2004, when I was first time in the States for a conference for a week, voice spoke to my heart. Said, would you come over? I said, no, I'm ministering to Muslims in my country. I don't want to come here. I went back home. I forget about this all. 2008, second time, I was in a conference in Colorado Springs for a week. Again, during that week, voice, would you come over? I said, never. I'm ministering to Muslims in my country. I don't want to come here. I went back home. I forgot about this. 2012. God, our God, is living God. If he has something for you, he for sure he's going to talk to you and he's going to knock your heart, your door for you to say yes. By the way, let me tell you, the God of Bible never violates your will and my will. But God of Islam violates you and forces you to come, to submit yourself. God gave us free will. And freedom when he created us. He gave us copyright of free choice, free will. And he never broke and breaks it. When Jesus came to earth, he said, whoever wants to follow me, follow me. He never forced anybody to follow him. This is why we love Jesus so much. Because he didn't break God's copyright on us. But Islam breaks that copyright of God. This is why we can say that God is not God who created me. Are you with me? So he, again, knocked the days are coming, prepare, pass on the ministers, and go. I said, Lord, I have no sponsors. I have no family members in the States. Nobody called me there. I have no church behind. I don't know where to go and why. I was praying all about. But it was so strong in my heart. I told my wife, I said, God, okay, if this is you, I'm going to do that. She said, why? I said, I don't know. She said, forget about that. Is it me? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought somebody was there in the ceiling. So what happened? She said, no way, I don't want to go anywhere. I said, hey, let's pray together. We were praying about a month. She said, I got peace in my heart. I know this is from you. So, okay, I said, I was praying. Some friend told me, Rasim, if God wants you to go to the States, that would be good for you to go there and to pray to see what God wants you to do. I said, that's a good idea. I went to U.S. Embassy. I said, God, if U.S. Embassy will give me a year, multiple entries to the States, I'll know this is from you. If a single visa, 3 months or 1 month or no visa, I'll forget about this all. So I don't know, have you been in an embassy in a Muslim country, U.S. Embassy, but I've been there twice. I put it for God to do something, you know, to prove it that this is from the Lord. She said, I have peace in my heart. They're going to give it to you. I said, you've never been there. I've been there twice. You have to bring all kinds of documentation to prove that what it's all about. I have no credit cards, no debit card. Because I'm a pastor underground church, I'm not employed by the government. So she said, no, you're going to get it. I said, okay. I went to U.S. Embassy. Interview, you know, glasses, I'm here. Where are you going? I said, to U.S. I said, I know. What state? I said, to several states. He said, what's the purpose of your trip? I said, to pray and seek for God's guidance in my life. That wasn't prayer meeting. That was interview in a U.S. embassy. The guy looked in my eyes like this, and he said, your visa approved. Come tomorrow morning, get it. Next day, I got visa, a year, multiple entries to the States. Ask God difficult things to do for you, to make sure that this is from the Lord if you have a calling. And I had $200, I borrowed $300, no phone, no health insurance, no money. I flew, I emailed to some friends, I'm coming to U.S., they hosted me, God bless them. I flew to America to pray what God wants me to do. I was traveling by Amtrak from Minnesota to D.C., from D.C. to Florida, from Florida to Springfield, Missouri. Some of friends, they said, you're going to stay with us. Somebody made phone call to Valley Forge Christian College up in Pennsylvania. They said, Rasim needs, we can transfer his 3 years. I said, 2 years, we are gifted him 2 years of his tuition. And he needs to get, he can get his degree. And they said, Rasim, it never happens in one day. Non-university, non-college, nobody gives that much money. It's about $40,000. God did miracles. 2013, July, we applied for 4 visas. The screen gave us 2 weeks later to come for interview, end of July, to come for interview. 30th or 31st. God of Bible, God of dates and ages. If you read, God always emphasizes dates and ages in the Bible. But in the Quran, there's no dates, no ages. You may distinguish who's God, who's living one. And in end of July, we had to go for an interview 2 weeks later. 20 months before that, my wife, she saw a dream. 07/13, God is doing big difference in our life. That we are moving from our apartment to some foreigner's apartment. I said, Shelly, what is that, 07/13? It doesn't make sense. She said, no. Something has to happen that date. Now, 20 months later, July. Next day, I got a phone call. After I applied for visa, next day, we had to go end of July. It is Rasim Asanov. I said, yes. They said, if you have time, you can come for interview. I said, okay. So we went for interview. They said, you go in Valley Forge, just say yes. They looked through. They said, okay. They approved that for visas. And 2 days later, we got our visas. I was online looking for, we got very cheap price, 4 tickets, less than $4,000. When tickets were per person $3,000. I'm not going to go details because I don't have much time. I'm going to finish in 2 minutes. What happened? We flew from Azerbaijan to some foreigner's apartment, from our apartment to foreigner's apartment, 0713 in July 2013. Then we weren't able to do it. Remember when Jesus has to be born in Bethlehem, but his parents, they were living in Nazareth. You know that. But through King, something happened. They transferred parents to Bethlehem. And Jesus was born there because prophet said that. So with our visas happened the same thing. Something happened through the government, through the embassy, and God did a miracle, and we ended up. And we were flying from D.C. to Philadelphia. I was sitting, my wife and I, one guy was sitting here, and he pulled out his jacket, gave to my kids because it was AC cold. I said, hey, thank you very much. I started to tell him lots of miracles. I mean, God did miracles in my life, and where we're going. He said, I'm Christian, and three guys that sit in the back. He was 20 years old guy. Let's pray together when we landed. We start to pray when we are in the Philadelphia airport. I don't know them, first time I met them. After when I was saying bye to each other, I saw that guy. He put something in my palm. I said, what are you doing? He said, I want to bless you. I said, don't do that. He said, God told me to bless you. I said, okay. I put that money into my pocket. Next day I saw that was more than $500 cash that guy. I understood that God blessed us before we got to the States. And we went to church. One family came to us, Filipino couple. They said, we didn't know that church. We just first time. Somebody drove us there. They came to us. They said, we have a car. We wanted to give it to our landlord. But God stopped us and told us, give your car to this couple. I said, we ended up in the States about 10, 12 days now. They say, we are going to go back to Philippines in 10 days, and we'll never come back. We were here for 15 years. And this is a gift to you. And God did many miracles in our life. When we didn't have even $200, he will spend more than $95,000. That's God's miracle. When he calls, obey, but make sure that he calls you. And in the end, I want to finish in a minute. Why Muslims to die in their sins? I believe what we are, you and I, we are one of those who are going to take the gospel to them because they don't have assurance of their salvation. No, they don't have eternal life. They're waiting for judgment day, and they don't have forgiveness of sins as we have. So we are, God blessed us and helped us to be Assemblies of God, U.S. missionaries among Muslims. And we have here in D.C. area, D.C. and surrounding areas, more than 500,000 Muslims, more than 75 mosques. It's a challenge for all of us. If Christians will not go to the Muslims, they are going to come to us, for sure. We have to go to them with life of Jesus Christ and with forgiveness that he provides to them. And please keep us in your prayers because we are here to do outreach among Muslims, to have workshops in our churches, to reach out to Muslims. And we are here to partner. Please pray for us. And if God put in your heart to support us, we would be so grateful. And thank you very much for sharing with you all what God did and what he's going to do. I know God did much more things in your life, and he is going to. Just be faithful. Thank you very much. I'm so grateful. God bless you all. Thank you, Pastor.
So we're running a little bit short on time. We have a handful of questions kind of for a fireside chat Q&A type session. So we'll do a few before we close off our service and pray for our brother here. I think here in our Western world, in America, Islam and the Muslim culture is just highly misunderstood. We have a significant fear of what it is to be a Muslim. We see terrorism, there's ISIS, so we always think these negative, fearful thoughts. So the first question is just, what are some of the major misunderstandings that we as a Western world have of Muslims that probably should be corrected or straightened out?
First of all, Muslims, they are not bad people, okay? They're very friendly people. Majority, they're good people. They are not terrorists. But somehow, Islam messed them up, okay? But they are good people. If you're going to be friend with them, they're going to be friend with you forever. But so this is what I can say. They are not bad. They're really good people. Just approach them, make friends with them. They're going to be your best friend, I could say this.
For those of us who aren't as familiar with the different sects and branches of Islam, could you just provide maybe a high-level summary of Sunni, Shiite, and so on?
Okay, they are major several. The Sunnis, the Shiites, and the Sufis. Sufis are considered as a much more spiritual branch of Islam, and they are considered from Sunni and Shiites as a heretics, okay? Something that they went the wrong way, but most of Sunnis and Shiites, Shiites people, they are more open than Sunnis. Sunnis more close. And majority countries, like 85% of world population is Sunnis, like 15-20% of them Shiites. So, so they have several just ceremonial, you know, differences, and a little bit about the teachings. They have differences, but most of they have the same book and same prophet, same Allah. They try to worship God in their own mosques in Muslim countries. So Shiites, they have Shia mosque, and Muslims, they have their own mosque. So they don't want to engage together. But here in the States, they are mostly together because they are a minority here.
I'm hopeful that many of us have Muslim friends and that we are crossing kind of that bridge and reaching our hand across. I know for us, our kids, we actually go to a daycare run by Pakistani Muslims, and I actually have a brother-in-law who's raised Pakistani Muslim but no longer practicing. So this question is how. Some practical tips as to how to engage. I know for my brother-in-law, we've had some spiritual discussions in the past, and he's very hostile towards Christianity. He asserts that Islam is a religion of peace, and that you Christians are oppressive and a hostile religion. So some practical tips as to how to engage our Muslim friends.
If someone has a, I could say this, if someone has a friend or not, maybe a coworker, that would be good if you're going to invite him. Before inviting to church, invite them to have just some eat together or just have a coffee together. Just spend time together. That will really make him feel good when you invite him to gathering, because he's going to come with you. He kind of trusts in you. And also, majority of, let's say, Muslims, they are not hostile. Majority, they are peaceful. There are some percentages, yes, they're radicals. So, but Jesus didn't tell us that, hey, go to peaceful and not, you know, radical. So he just sent us to all of them. I could say, have friends. Try to find a common ground and build a bridge. Don't just break. And my advice would be, don't say I'm a Christian. It's going to be good if you're going to say I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. But Christian, that sounds different in their minds, in their ears.
So he's given us a few practical tips, right? Avoid the word church, right? Gathering,
yes,
hangouts,
yes, right.
And avoid Christian, but follower of Jesus.
Yes, I could say have a birthday party and invite some of them. Let's go to Perth, you know, awesome. Yeah. Really, it's good occasion. You just come and you're going to eat together. You're making, you know, friendship, and you're building a bridge to invite them. If not, then how are they going to come? Because they're kind of afraid even here in America. They are more closed than in the Muslim countries.
So final question is, how can we best pray for the Muslim community, and how can we best pray for you and your ministry?
If you have somebody that you know, if you told him, you would talk to him, and I would encourage you, pray continuously for him, please, that God will open his mind. If you're going to bring him, he's going to bring his own family, he's going to bring all his own, you know, friends. That's awesome. And for us how to pray, please pray for us that whenever we'll meet with Muslims, some Muslims, they hate me, for sure, I know. That's okay. But some, they don't hate, but pray for me that I would find a way into their hearts, because here in America, they're a minority. They're Muslim. They don't trust, you know, even each other here. But that we could go into their community, that to build a bridges for us to bring them to Christ. Please.
Don, I'd like to invite you up, and if we could just spend a moment praying for Brother Hussein.
Joanna, would you come up? Would you come up? And Aaron, just lay your hand on Shalala. We're going to go ahead and pray, and I invite you to pray also, because God is the one who calls, and He is the one who opens doors.
Yes, Lord.
And He is the one who changes hearts.
Yes, Lord.
And so I want us to pray for Rasim and Shalala, that God would use them to represent Jesus Christ. Mm. That those that who do not know Christ, who are lost without Christ, would come to know Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus,
yes, God.
Thank you for this word of life. Lord, that you come into a young man and a young girl's life in a place that has very, very few Christians. And Lord, you are able to transform and to channel and to direct that person, that family, to a place of ministry. Lord, we sing the song a lot of the time, we will follow you. The Rasim and his wife Shalala have followed you. So Lord, I pray that you would be faithful to them, continue to provide for their needs, and continue to let their ministry multiply.
Yes, Lord.
One of the things that they are doing right now are trying to establish connections with churches in their network. And so our church is not in their network, but Lord, we pray that the door would be opened for them to be able to minister and share their vision and share their hope of ministry for the Washington, D.C. area to many people in this area. Bless them, Lord. Equip them. Anoint them.
Yes.
And continue to help the Chinese church also be able to reach out to people who don't necessarily fit into our template. But you call us to break that template, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Help us, Lord Jesus, to be able to be a witness in this D.C. area. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Okay. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate it. Thank you.
We're going to turn our time to our time of offering collection. So if the ushers can prepare to collect the offering, and for those that need to prepare any checks, this is the time to do so.